Jewel of Nyveka by Adriana Dane, now available at Amber Heat, www.amberheat.com. The Egyptian goddess Bastet plays matchmaker to Sarametateri as a reward for her eternal service. But Sara doesn't think she's ready for love or trust. How could she be when it was a man who caused her demise a millennia ago? But Ben Solomon, curator of the Solomon Museum, where the Nyvekian artifacts are to be exhibited, may just be the man to stand up to her passionate defiance. After all, it isn't the powerful queen of Nyveka he wants. It's the desirable woman he made love to in one night of sizzling sexual desire. Taming this immortal wildcat will take the patient determination of a modern man with a fierce passion in his heart. An excerpt from Jewel of Nyveka. Chapter 1. Ben Solomon, owner of the Solomon Museum, sat at his desk and thumbed through the book lying in front of him. By this time he should have it memorized. His fascination with the translations of the ancient scrolls of Nyveka was almost an obsession. He couldn't get the heretofore unknown city out of his head. The translations were prepared by Dr. Cassandra Lindsay and her husband, who was also a linguist of ancient written languages, Kafil Mim. It seemed interesting and almost a mark of fate to Ben that the linguist, the only known translator of the Nyvekian hieroglyphs, should also bear the name of one of the viziers of that ancient city. But the story in the translations was as beautiful and sad a love story as any he had read. He had soaked it up and was eager to learn more, hence his excitement at the opportunity to host the Nyvekian exhibition. When the opportunity came up for the Solomon Museum to host the traveling exhibition of the artifacts from the tomb of Sarametateri, royal wife and twin sister to King Zephyrus Sisamon, he had jumped at the chance to gain a closer look into the world of this newly discovered civilization and its rulers. There was mention in the translated texts of King Zephyr's royal wife, Sarametateri, but the majority of the text involved the love of his life, a secondary wife bearing the royal name of Aset Marian Kensphere Isis, beloved wife of Zephyr, commonly known as Isadora. Sarametateri was portrayed as a cosseted, pampered figurehead, but something about the woman intrigued Ben. He wasn't sure why, because there was little written about her, but the fact that it was her tomb that had been unearthed seemed to say she held an important role, more than simply a puppet of the king. Of course, there was the fact that she had brought Zephyr and his second wife together, which spoke of a selfless act uncommon among royal wives. Then it apparently had been up to her to hold the monarchy together after King Zephyr disappeared. No ordinary woman could have done that. It took a strong, intelligent leader to command at such a time. It was little bits and pieces such as that which had caught and held his attention. The contracts had been signed, and the exhibit should arrive within the week. He had made arrangements to house the contents of the tomb in one of the more secure exhibition halls of the museum. He had also upped the security measures, and once the exhibit arrived, there would be double guards around it. He was taking no chances. He couldn't wait to get his first glimpse of the original scrolls, which were the basis for the translation by Dr. Lindsay. When news of the discovery of the scrolls was first released, many people thought it was pure fiction, until a team of scientists were brought to the tomb and verified the authenticity of the artifacts. He looked again at the photograph of the statue that purportedly represented Queen Sara. She had been a beautiful woman with a lush, rounded figure. How any man could have resisted her, he couldn't imagine. She had a feline quality about her, and he imagined when she walked into any room, it was with the regal grace of a female predator, secure in her world, and the honor of the people that was her right. He looked at the corner of his desk, where a carved ebony figurine stood proudly erect and regal. He imagined Sarametateri and her proud carriage would have made a perfect model for the goddess. He was surprised when the package had arrived late that afternoon. There had been no note, nothing to indicate who had sent it, but it was a beautiful statue of Bast, an Egyptian goddess with glittering emerald eyes, the graceful body of a woman with the elegant head of a cat. It was deserving of a place of honor. The authenticator for Egyptian art was gone for the weekend, but on Monday he would ask Miriam Smith to take a look at it. For now he would allow himself the pleasure of keeping it here in his office, where he could enjoy it, at least for the time being. No one entered his inner sanctum, and it always remained locked in his absence. Not even the cleaning people were allowed to come in unless he was around. It was too often the case that a value piece would be left with him for evaluation after hours, and the main safe upstairs was already sealed with a time lock. He leaned back in his chair and stretched. He glanced up at the clock on the shelf against the wall, and was surprised to find it was already midnight. He had lost track of time, again. His ex-wife Candace still held an interest in the museum, and he had totally forgotten about the dinner she'd arranged for several potential contributors. She was certainly not going to forgive him for missing it. As much as he hated those things, he knew it was a necessary appearance if he wanted the museum to survive. Candace and he had never seen eye to eye on things, which was one of the reasons their marriage had fallen apart. They had sort of shifted into marriage after college. She had passion, all right, but it was more for his money than it was for him or the museum or history of the pieces it contained. In those early years, she had turned her nose up at going with him on the digs each summer, preferring to stay at home and play by the pool or lunch at the country club. It was upon his return from Mexico 5 years ago that she had informed him she wanted a divorce. He couldn't say he was heartbroken over the breakup, and he had actually sighed with relief. Their marriage had become a painful anchor weighing around both their necks. Unfortunately, he hadn't been able to afford to buy her out of her share of the museum, so she still retained a say in how things were run. At least she contented herself, for the most part, with organizing the charity functions and contacting potential contributors, and dealt with some of the more visual responsibilities that he had no interest in. Even though she had just as much of a background in archaeology as he had, she had no desire to pursue any type of career where she might break a well-manicured nail. Candace liked being the decoration on the top of the cake, not the filling. Yet he had been like an ostrich with his head neck deep in the ground. He'd never realized she'd been having an affair for the last year of their marriage with one of the major contributors to the museum. Jack Craig's interest in Candace was probably the reason he became a major contributor with a special interest in the museum. They were married before the ink was even dry on the divorce decree. She didn't need her shares in the museum to support herself. Half the time, Ben thought she retained her portion strictly in an effort to control him, even though they were no longer married. Craig provided for her very nicely in the way she'd always wanted to become accustomed to. No, her only stake in the museum was to grind the knife in his back as deep as possible and to make sure it stayed there. And right now, there wasn't a thing he could do about it. At least she didn't have control over the finances. If she had, she would have milked the museum dry long ago. She was going to flay him up one side and down the other for missing this little social event of hers. Damn, it just made him weary thinking about her. And at the moment, he was too tired to be concerned about what she would say. His cell phone was turned off, and so was the switchboard. He wouldn't have to deal with her tonight. He closed his eyes. A couple minutes of rest, and he'd head for home. "Wake up, Ben Solomon. Wake up." He heard the velvet-accented voice through a fog of dreams. Had he been asleep longer than he thought? Was it morning already? "Who's there?" he mumbled as he righted himself in the chair. Damn, he must have been exhausted because he'd been deep into la-la land. Then he saw the vision in front of him. What the hell? He rubbed his eyes, but the image didn't fade. This can't be right. I must still be asleep. The statue of Bast that had been resting on his desk now apparently stood before him full of life. "No, Ben, you aren't asleep. I have come to give you a message." He straightened in his chair, wary of what he was seeing, knowing that he must still be asleep. There couldn't be any other explanation. "I am Bastet, and I know you recognize me. I have come with a message. Zafira Sizaman is sending you a gift. It is the jewel of Nyveka that he places into your keeping." "What are you talking about? What jewel?" "The jewel is very precious to him. He has determined that you are the one man to understand its value and to treasure it as it deserves. You will understand how to handle it." She held up a length of delicate gold chain. "To aid you, he sends this necklace, which will bind the jewel to the earth. Only the person who places it on the jewel is able to remove it." She laid the glittering necklace on the desk. It will halt her shape-shifting abilities. Use it wisely, Ben Solomon, and care for this jewel well. Ben looked down at the chain and then back at Bastet. Why me? You have been chosen by the gods of Egypt. You alone can satisfy the need that lies in the heart of the jewel. You alone will make the jewel shine brightly once again. She began to shimmer, and Ben jumped to his feet. No, wait! You can't leave yet. Where is the jewel? How will I recognize it? Was he nuts? The goddess wasn't real. It was just a dream. You will know her. She is the crown jewel of Nivekka, who has walked through eternity alone. Her gift is love, and only you can free her to shine brightly. Use this time well. Zephyr, the god king, has spoken. And then she was gone. He blinked, rubbed his eyes, and then walked around the desk to where she had stood. He leaned down and picked up some sort of gritty, glittering substance. It looked like gold sand. He then walked over to the window and opened the blind to find the beginnings of a foggy morning about to emerge. He turned back to look at the desk, and the chain was still there. What the hell had just happened? Sara sauntered into the room toward the dais where Bast waited. What is it this time? She asked. Another tomb to unearth? Who is it now? Bast studied her with her usual haughty I am goddess look. It was one Sara had practiced herself when she had been young, so she was untouched by its use now. The artifacts from your tomb will be on exhibition at the Solomon Museum in the United States. You will go there to watch over them. Sara huffed. Why me? That sounds like an extremely boring assignment. Isn't there anyone else to handle it? You are the one to accomplish this task. Only you are intimately familiar with the contents of the exhibition. It must remain intact. There are many who would try to steal from your past. Isn't there someone at the museum to take care of this? She saw the look of impatience cross Bast's face and her whiskers twitched. All right, I'll handle it. When do I have to be there? The exhibition will arrive in 2 days. Well, at least that gives me some time for myself. I can get an idea of what's available to keep me entertained. Don't get into trouble, Bast admonished her. Sara opened her eyes wide and batted her long lashes. Who, me? I'm here to serve, aren't I? I do what you tell me. Bast nodded regally. Just accomplish the task. Sara bowed and backed away. As you wish, goddess. She then pivoted and turned around and leisurely walked out of the audience room of the temple. There had to be something more to this immortality than what she had experienced over the last millennia. It had come to a point where there seemed no purpose to what she did. Of course, that one task when she'd had Kefiel to watch while he contacted Cassandra Lindsay wasn't bad. That was sort of interesting, especially when it was her own tomb that was to be discovered. Finally, these mortals would know about Nivekka and its people. There were times when she simply felt invisible. Well, actually, she was, for the most part. Why had she ever accepted this immortality stuff anyway? Because she thought she might have a chance at finding out what this emotion called love was all about. But after all this time, she still didn't have a clue. Oh, she'd had her share of men, but not a one that she wanted to keep. There were times when she felt like the cat she shapeshifted into, always on the prowl and never satisfied. But the human side of her wanted something she wasn't sure she was meant to find or to ever have. Another task, another city. She truly was becoming weary of it all. Kefiel had managed to find the love of his life. Why couldn't she? Jewel of Nivekka by Adriana Dane, now available at Amberheat. www.amberheat.com. For information on other stories, visit www.adrianadane.com.